Senate Judiciary Committee will please come to order. Take your role, please.
Lysy?
Here.
Josephson?
Here.
Cantor?
Here.
Bigler?
Here.
Chairman Ray?
Here. With the quorum present, first order of business is House Concurrent Resolution Number 11. Representative Fritz, please come forward, take the, finish your testimony.
Mr. Chairman?
Sir?
I don't have to leave at 2:30 to catch my train, so I'm advised by the chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Mato Fritz. I'm representative in House District 5 and the sponsor of this concurrent resolution. Try to proceed.
I think Representative Fritz, if there's a good deal of support for your resolution, and the old legislative foundation is don't oversell if you got them in, already going your way. So I would ask the members of the committee if they have any questions of Representative Fritz, the sponsor.
Only one. Dr. Fritz, is there a cost bill? And if so, I assume it would be in the minimum amount.
The fiscal note indicated zero. That's with the operating budget of the court system, and they would not have to have any additional funding.
No problem. Okay. I have no further questions.
Senator Lassie?
Milo, I was wondering, is this a procedure being used in other states?
I don't know.
Any other questions?
Mr.
Vice Chairman?
If for a person with normal hearing, does the earphone augment the hearing you would get through a normal microphone speaker system?
It's according to the rheostat control, Mr. Josephson. A person can adjust the volume of sound according to
for personal
use.
Any other questions? If not, the chair will entertain a motion.
Move that we pass out HCR 11 of the legal record.
Is there an objection? How many do pass? Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Wasn't that easy?
Gee, it sure was. I can't hear you, Milo. What
did you say? Okay. All right, Richard. Next order of business. Senate Joint Resolution Number 1, relating to the proposal by Congress for an Equal Rights Amendment. Sir, this is your people. We have a list of people who would like to give testimony, and if I might suggest to those people who would like to give testimony, the committee is interested in the actualities of the facts, and we understand that as well as you do that this is a highly emotional issue, and if you could not be too repetitive, we're looking for facts and information, and just to say you don't like it because it does something, unless don't overburden us. Because we have a short attention span, and if we hear the same thing coming again, we just kind of automatically turn off.
Take them to rank for office.
Yeah, but this is a non-election year. Elaine Braden, please come forward. Give us your affiliation and present your testimony then. Please, I'm not trying to stop you from testifying. I don't mean it that way at all. But I mean, this is repetitive, the same thing over and over again.
I'm affiliated with the Freedom Council, and I'll cut this one short since there are so many here. But my name is Elaine Brayton. I'm a wife, mother, and grandmother. I'm a homemaker and a retired state employee. I'm against the reintroduction of the Equal Rights Amendment. I'm not against justice for women, and I believe that in the past there have been incidents of unjust treatment. But I believe those wrongs have been corrected and the rights of women affirmed by the Civil Rights Act of 1964 and the Equal Opportunity Act of 1972. There is a limit of what can or should be covered by government legislation. And I'm especially against the wording of the ERA. No one can agree on what it says or doesn't say. If it is to amend the Constitution, shouldn't it be absolutely clear as to what is and what is not allowed? And if it isn't indeed an amendment for equal rights for women, why doesn't it say women and not just sex? And what does sex mean? Male, female, homosexual, lesbian, or sexual acts? Will it clear the way for incest and rape? Such a law was introduced and defeated in the city of Washington, D.C. last year, so why should we believe that it would never be interpreted and enforced in that way? To oppose the ERA would not be opposing women, but would be a stand for truth and freedom and in defense of women.
Any questions from any of the members? Thank you, Ms. Greenwood. Before we go on here, unless I'm mistaken, how many people have read this proposal? And you still find that it says all these things in it? Yes.
I think I understand where this first witness is coming from, and she has not only read the proposal that's in front of us, but she's read the Equal Rights Amendment, mm-hmm. which is referred to in this proposal. And the Equal Rights Amendment, as written, has certain ramifications, according to the way she analyzes it, and I might also add the way I analyze it. So I don't think it's particularly out of line for her to discuss the ramifications of an amendment that this resolution is urging to pass the Congress.
Well, we're all entitled to our own beliefs, but I mean, all I have going on is the Senate Joint Resolution Number 1, which the resolve says that respectfully request to again propose an amendment to the United States Constitution guaranteeing equal rights to all women. And I think that perhaps the opposition should rest with the whatever the Congress decides to put out, and at that time the people will have an opportunity to vote on that. So what my interest is in the Senate Joint Resolution Number 1, and not what we can anticipate coming from Congress.
Yes, sir. Mr. Chairman, there is no question what is going to come out of Congress. There is only one Equal Rights Amendment. It is presently co-sponsored by over 50 senators of the United States Senate. There's no doubt whatsoever about what this resolution is addressing. It is addressing the same Equal Rights Amendment that was passed by Congress 10 years ago. And I personally believe that these women should be allowed to testify about what, in fact, we all know this resolution is addressed to, namely the Equal Rights Amendment that is presently about to be introduced in Congress. And that is the subject matter of this resolution, the way I read it, Mr. Chairman.
I didn't understand the chair to be saying that people could not testify according to whatever lights or insights they wanted to testify.
What I was interested in, I know the feelings of what you're thinking about what's coming from Congress. I understand that point. I wondered if there was anything within the proposal, the Senate Joint Resolution language, that you disagreed with or found offensive. That's what I was looking for. Yes, ma'am. Did you have something?
Well, what you're trying to do is get the legislatures to say that they want the ERA ratified in Congress.
No, ma'am.
If the Senate Joint Resolution passes, isn't that what you will send to the
yes,
to Washington?
Yes, ma'am.
But well, we are all against it.
Yeah, but I'm not trying to do anything other than get information from the people. And I'm not a sponsor of this resolution at all.
Well, the reason that we're here is because we would like to convince the senators and the representatives to go against this resolution.
I understand that, but I wondered if there was anything in the Senate proposal that you objected to. That's my main concern, yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir, I do object. Actually, in the proposal, the word sex came there. I'd rather say women. I mean, if it's going to be, I think you can make it more specific. You could change it from sex to women.
You mean on line 16? Mm-hmm. Enjoyment of any civil or political right because of sex? Is that your reference point?
Yes. Yes.
You, and you say your suggestion is that no person is to be denied the enjoyment of any civil or political right because they are a woman?
I think that's getting stupid. There's nothing else that I would like to take issue with, and that starts on line 25. It says, whereas the people of the state of Alaska wish to have the Congress again propose the Equal Rights Amendment to the state for their consideration.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we're here. We don't want it proposed.
That's what my original statement was, ma'am. I'm asking you what you're opposed to in this
here.
And Senator Pettijohn is very fervently opposed to the Equal Rights Amendment, so we consider his comments at the same time. Okay. Sue Miller?
I'd like you to comment. I have spoken several times on this issue, most recently in front of Senator Joseph in the House Committee. Following my reasons, I have several reasons why I recommend a do not pass for SDR1. The first reason is that even though, well, I think I'd like to add another first reason, and that is Senator Pettijohn, probably, I really am happy to be able to come here and have this direct contact with you. If this issue gets up into Washington, D.C., I won't have this opportunity to have that face-to-face. I can't afford to fly there. I'm retired. But I thank you for hearing me here. Reason one, even though proponents state that SGR1 is just a resolution and does not address in itself the substantive issues of ERA, and even though a resolution does really not bind the state of Alaska to any ERA position, I maintain that indirectly it would, as passage of this resolution puts Alaska on record as supporting ERA. It tells our federal legislators in loud and clear language that the bulk of citizen support is directed toward reintroduction of ERA in Congress, and I submit that that is simply not true. I submit three of several possible examples to support my statement, and the examples have been very quickly taken. I'm sure if I had had more time, I could have come up with some that would be even more effective. But Alaska has had the state ERA since 1972, although proponents state and restate that there have been no negative results, even when confronted with numerous examples. The fact that these negative results and their effect upon women and men in their personal lives has become more and more evident and more publicized until consciousness of women and men against ERA has risen to a combative level. I cite myself, people present at this hearing today, and those writing letters and sending personal opinion letters in the several Alaskan groups formed to fight this and similar issues as examples of the rising consciousness of the negative results of our state ERA. The second example refers to Senator Josephson's statement in his majority report on, I guess it was HDR1 Health Committee, that messages were delivered on behalf of numerous organizations with large Alaskan memberships, as NEA Alaska, Alaska Association of University Women, League of Women Voters, and Alaska component of NOW. Obviously, the number of potential voters appears impressive, but it actually may not be so at all. As a 19-year member of NEA, I remember the disgruntlement of many as a small PACE committee composed of 5 to 7 members would select candidates for recommendations for members to vote on and political issues to support. It became a joke among us at my school that the way to vote was opposite to the PACE committee's suggestions. Notice also how effective just one local woman activist can be. This woman activist I'm thinking about is a member of AAUW, the League of Women Voters, NOW, and other organizations, and Senator Josephson stated that he received messages from each of these organizations regarding their support for ERA. If one person is active in many groups, informed, and willing to work to inform others who wish to have a voice but not become too involved, it is fairly simple to secure the vote of a small group that sounds as if it is representing the whole organization. I know because I've done it myself. The third example can be pruned from the recent result of the vote of the Hess Committee, which passed HDR1 with a 2-2 vote. Although Pappy Moss was in the hospital during the hearings, hearing none of the oral testimony of opponents, he was unavailable in his office for opponents to discuss these concerns. He was the swing vote for a 3-2 do pass recommendation. My question is, not that I feel very sorry that he was in the hospital. My question, though, is, was his vote representative of the people he represents? Or should the message from that committee have been, do not pass, as there are as many opponents as there are proponents? How can committee members vote fairly if they're not present to hear the opposition speak at hearings? Can the message they send be accurate, representative of the truth? Opponents of HJR 1 prepared carefully testimony, but only Senator Josephson, who chaired the committee, was present the full time. For such a controversial issue, opponents expect the same opportunity for face-to-face questioning and answers as opponents. Some did not write down their testimony, and although tapes of the proceedings are available, no one ever receives questions from committee members from those tapes. So the questions of whether they are being heard remains a question. How can, then, such a recommendation of support for this resolution be sent to Washington when opponents feel that they not only have not been listened to, but they haven't been heard? The second reason is that I feel that a major reason that committee members don't wish to vote no to this resolution is that they do not want to look to the public as if they are voting against women's rights. But I maintain that a yes, do pass vote is a vote for feminist pressure groups and against women. The feminists supporting the ERA do not speak for me, no matter how many feminist groups they label women's. Men and women voters in the past appear to agree with my point of view since the 10-year battle for ERA was lost. Therefore, people like myself do appear to have a majority of political clout. Reason number three, opponents have stated the ERA will prevent piece by piece legislation. 14th Amendment has not prevented it, as equal rights for racial discrimination are still being decided. Reason number four, Senator Roger Jepson, a Republican from Iowa, has introduced a bill to prohibit use of funds for political advocacy. John Houston, executive director of the Fairness Committee, says, among specific abuses was the granting of millions of dollars to now. Our local paper reports that Governor Sheffield may eradicate the Commission on the Status of Women as part of cutback measures. Thus, our legislators, our representatives, are putting yourselves in the position of voting for a resolution pushed and pressured for by groups funded by the legislature. The obvious discrimination against individuals and groups opposed to this resolution that have no funding is another reason why voting results are unfair and discriminatory. Reason five, I had to remind some angry mothers of small children with and without jobs, taking courses, maintaining a home, that we didn't have that special legislative protection of taxpayer funding to ensure that leaders could represent us in this political advocacy, that they would have to rehire their own babysitters, take their own unpaid leave, and make the effort the second time or not be heard at all. So, by our legislators not having joint committees on this controversial issue, it is our opinion that you have discriminated against the homemaker with family, single person with jobs, and others who represent this view, but cannot make two major efforts to be heard. If you do not have the minority report of HGR 1 submitted to the House Committee, written and signed by Senator Paul Fisher, let me at this time enter it as part of the opposition testimony. Does anybody need this? This well-written report gives legal references which very adequately refute both the majority report and the opinion stated as fact in the information sheet Equal Rights Amendment prepared by the Alaska Commission on the Status of Women. They list as their source of their information, quote, prepared from research materials, unquote. Since their research materials differ in findings from the legal briefs cited in the minority report, one has a good example of the judicial difficulties that will be arising from the vague language of this proposal. If you do not have a copy of Sam Ervin, constitutional lawyer's minority report in the congressional record of March 22, 1972, I will be happy to see that you also get a copy of that.
I don't have that.
You do not have it. I wish to make one quotation from that document. Professor of Neurology at the Yale Medical School, Dr. Jonathan H. Pincus, has asked the following question. Is the Equal Rights Amendment to be the Tonkin Gulf resolution of the American social structure? I would predict that the ERA and many of the other goals of its proponents will bring social disruption, unhappiness, and increasing rates of divorce and desertion. Weakening of family ties may also lead to increased rates of alcoholism, suicide, and possibly sexual deviation. Before we begin tinkering with the very subtle mechanisms of family relationships and social responsibilities, should we not consider that we might, in fact, be passing a Tonkin Gulf resolution of the American social structure? Each one of you today will have to decide if you have felt that the state ERA and any of the other feminist organizations with their goals have exacerbated these predictions. My sixth reason is a personal one. I feel one very negative result of the state ERA has been a loss of support of taxpayer funding for abortions. I quote Sarah Reddington, the attorney who argued and won the 1973 Supreme Court abortion case, quote, It seems to me that what the ERA is all about is trying to say that women should have full choices about how their lives are spent and what their life's plan is. And yet, when you say to women, we will give you all those choices through ERA, but if you become pregnant, you must go through pregnancy, we are in essence denying them the benefit of the ERA, unquote. Charles Rice at the University of Notre Dame Law School said, quote, the potential effects of ERA on abortion are sufficient, it seems to me, to cause all those who oppose abortion to oppose the ERA, unquote. It is my own deep conviction that since God's book says that a child is in the womb at the moment of conception, that if you send this message of support from this resolution to Washington, the negative result to me is that not only am I being forced to support abortion financially, but I am being forced to disobey God's laws. In summation, I feel that if you recommend a do pass, you are sending to Washington an inaccurate message. In addition, you will have favored one group of your constituents over another because of your funding practices, which also affect the discrimination shown to the non-funded groups and individuals by not having had joint committees on this issue. I feel that you would cause people to violate their belief in separation of church and state and their deep religious convictions, thus participating in recommending of the imposing of one value system over another. I respectfully request that do not pass recommendation.
Thank you, ma'am. Are there any questions?
I have one, Mr. Chairman, if my name is Miller.
Yes.
On page 2, in the penultimate paragraph, you make the allegation that our representatives are putting themselves, or yourselves, in your words, in the position of voting for a resolution pushed and pressured for by groups funded by the legislature. And earlier on in your testimony, you mentioned the League of Women Voters. I'm very closely affiliated, for whatever reason, with the League of Women Voters, and I know of no grants that organization gets from the state.
Okay, I wasn't speaking to the League of Women Voters. I was speaking to the fact that Mr. Houston states that millions of dollars have been given to the NOW organization, and that the other one that I am aware of...
I don't take issue with you on those points, but I do want to stick up for the law.
Oh, no,
please. I don't think they get state
funds. No. Excuse me if I led you to believe that. That was not my intention. I was speaking to two groups that I knew of personally, and that is the NOW organization and the Alaska Commission on the Status of Women. I do have a listing here of people who did comment to your committee, and these people were NOW and the Alaska Women's Caucus, the National Organization for Women, the Commission on the Status of Women, the Alaska Women's Political Caucus. And these women did testify, and I'm wondering, you know, if several other of these committees are also funded. And I guess it's not so much a point of my making an allegation, it's the point of my saying that this seems to be a fact, you know, and it does not seem to be.
I'm not arguing with your basic premise.
Right.
I just wanted to clear it up on one point.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, I just had one question in reference to the arguments that you've given today have been the same arguments that has been presented against this amendment for the last 10 years, is that correct? I mean, is there anything, any particular argument you've given today that which is any different than what's been said in the last 10 years?
Yes. I'm speaking in the beginning to this resolution, and the resolution, the message that it is sending to Washington is decidedly different. Yes.
Well, I wasn't really referring to that part. I'm referring to the, is there any new testimony here relative to the opposition, or any other points that we have missed that might be new today?
Yes.
The point I'm trying to get to is that you are somewhat critical of members of a committee that do not happen to be present here. But I should remind you, too, that this thing has been before us for 10 years, and I don't really know. I haven't heard all the arguments, certainly I haven't heard all on either side, but I do would like to have you know that, you know, we've been living with this for a number of years. We've heard a lot of evidence on both sides, so we are not going into this thing with our eyes closed.
I understand that.
So we're forced to make decisions at times where we can't be present to hear all sides of a position. But nevertheless, we're required to vote one way or the other. There's no button that says no vote.
No, I understand.
So,
but to answer your question, yes. At the last committee meeting, women got up and gave personal testimony as to the notice result. And even though we did give our, how it affected us personally, and I gave you just one example of how it affected me personally as a negative result. Even though we said this, and we said it over and over, when the majority report came out, it stated that there have been no problems with the state ERA. The point, new point I'm trying to make is that we were there hoping to be heard. And whether I realized that you couldn't be at all those committee meetings and be here and be here, but because, in all fairness, the opponents must be heard, and they must be listened to. That when you have a controversial issue of this nature here, and for the fairness.
And just as a further comment, the senator's remarks prior to the opening of the testimony was given to the group that was here last week, so he's not, this committee is not trying to hold back any of your testimony. It appears that we're trying to...
I gave the same request to the other group, and in fact, they requested that we not hold another meeting, and I insisted that we did as the chairman in order to give the opposition, because there was nobody in opposition that appeared at that meeting. I want to give you equal time.
Well, the clarification helps, because when you are on the opposition side, and it seems at times to be a minority, there is an opportunity to have tender feelings.
Oh, yes, sir.
I might say, having conducted the Hess hearings, that I'm aware that the issue of negative results was aired, but I think some of us see signs or saw signs of social problems, alcoholism, divorce in the Alaska community prior to 1972. Questions of what the cause is, what the effect is, and what other things occur in the social fabric that produce these phenomena. But I want to ask you a question. In your statement, you implied that the adoption of the resolution would send a misleading or inaccurate message to Washington because most Alaskans share your views and your judgment. I really would like to know what the evidence for that is, and asking that I bear in mind that the voters in 1972 ratified the state of ERA. You tie the issue to abortion, and in this most recent election, they rejected, the voters rejected even the proposition of denying public funding for abortion, which by a significant vote, polls that I have seen indicate support for ERA by Alaska voters. So I'm wondering, other than the fact that we appreciate that this is an issue in which Alaskans are divided, what evidence you have in the face of that, in the face of the position of our statewide delegation, Senator Stevens, Senator Murkowski, who are representative, I presume, of the people. What evidence do you have that Senator Stevens and Senator Murkowski and the majority of the Hess Committee are reading the desires of Alaskans wrong, and that, for example, that you have any votes that or polls that show that?
I have evidence of several groups that have been formed in Alaska to combat these issues that have been very, very active. One of those groups is a pro-life group. One brand new group is a Freedom Council group, which is gaining members each day. A not-so-new group is the Moral Majority group. I would like to comment on the interdenominational groups that are becoming very active in this area. Although churches, of course, are split, their members have the ability to organize. And for instance, we have the Southern Baptist Women, and we have the women from the Pentecostal group, for lack of a better name, that have been organizing. In fact, one of the reasons that I am here today is because of the surging interest of people who are asking me to represent them. Those are some things that I have as evidence. I also have a listing, not only, of course, Eagle Forum is an Alaskan group. I do have a listing of organizations which have given people like myself support. The American Legion, the American Farm Bureau, the Council of Catholic Women, the Catholic Daughters of America, the Southern Baptist Convention, the General Association of Regular Baptist Churches, dozens of congregations of the Church of Christ, the Mormon Church, Social Concerns Committee, a Commission on Theology of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, the Union of the Orthodox Jewish Congregations, the Union of the Orthodox Rabbis, the Federation of Women's Clubs in some states, Conservative Party of New York, the Young Americans for Freedom, Young Republican National Federation, Daughters of the American Revolution, National Right to Life Committee, American Legislative Exchange Council. And in Alaska, many of these members have been working together, members of these national groups have been working together in order to organize. In fact, there is an emerging movement to organize people who are crossing across these lines. And at this particular moment, I have been asked to possibly begin that movement. So there is a lot of interest in it.
Mr. Chairman, I might note that when Senator Murkowski was a dear friend of mine, I was his deputy campaign manager in a successful race in 1980 where he garnered 55% of the vote of the state. He, at that time, was opposed to ERA. He has changed his mind since he's been on.
Well, as long as everybody's bearing their soul, I might well bear mine at the same time. I am on record and have been. I do not support unisexuality. I am opposed to lesbianism. I am opposed to homosexuality, but I honestly support the fundamental concept that men and women are equal.
And so do we.
You can argue that out among yourselves.
I really thought that Senator Paul Fisher had a fantastic idea. I saw he had written a bunch of recommendations stating, okay, if the ERA is to pass, then let's specify that we will not fund this, and we will not have the right to privacy, we will not have women in combat, we will not have each of the issues that is so concerning all of us. Then make a law to specify that's not so, and let's speak only to those things that you and I agree with. And everything you've mentioned, I stand on record right behind you, sir.
I also support the equal rights amendment.
I do not support the equal rights amendment.
Thank you very
question.
Much.
Senator Petty
Johnson.
Thank you.
Yes. Alice Bergdahl.
I'm not going to say it because something else has come up since then. And I knew as Sue Miller was speaking that it was important that I say what I have to say. I want to give a personal testimony. You asked if you knew it was personally affecting people, and I would like to give a personal testimony about it. My document that I put in didn't present any big facts or any big documents because it's already been done. For 10 years it's been done, and I don't need to repeat all that. But I'd like to take a couple minutes and tell you how it personally has affected me. A few years ago, as a supporter of the ERA, I thought it would be a benefit to me and to all women. And I was demanding my rights in my home and in my community, and even demanding the government meet all my needs. And the more I demanded, the worse it got. And my life became miserable, and if I did not have a change in my life, I know today, I would also be a divorce statistic. At one point in my life, something happened that seemed to be a tragedy, and it was a tragedy also, it seemed to me. But that turned out to be a real blessing in my life, and it changed my attitude, and it changed my life, and it changed me. I still want many things today, but I don't demand them, and I get twice as much as I ever had before. We do need laws in our society to deter chaos, and the Constitution is a fantastic document. But the laws that are not in accordance with God's laws will ultimately lead to the destruction of our homes and of our nation.
Any questions for Mr. Bergdahl? Thank you very much. Thorson, is that correct?
Are you for equal rights for women?
Sure, I am.
Then when I read more, when I read it and it said that you cannot discriminate between sex, that's what my main point is. And the thing is that you have to discriminate between sex because it's different. And our societies always, if you use the word discrimination, they think of as putting down or that it's bad. And I look at the word, and from the definition of discrimination, that you're saying that there's a difference. And there is a difference between men and women. And to say that there's not, and to apply the same rules for everybody, I just feel that that's wrong and that that wouldn't be helping us. I think it would be hindering us.
Any questions on Mr. Thorson? Thank you very much. Grace Creighton?
My name is Grace Creighton. And here as a private citizen. I would like to go on record as being opposed to Senate Joint Resolution Number 1 on Equal Rights Amendment. I strongly urge all senators to vote no on this resolution for the following reasons.
Much of the pressure to attempt to pass the ERA comes from the National Organization of Women, NOW, who have worked very closely with ERA, whose major platform at their last convention in October of 1982 was abortion and lesbian rights. The media has given the public the false impression that NOW is primarily concerned with discrimination against women, while concealing the fact that NOW is an activist, pro-lesbian, and pro-abortion group. If the ERA were to pass, the effects of its ratification would shake the very moral fiber of this country. All that ERA stands for is an abomination to God. With the new laws enforced that there is no difference between men and women, there will be drastic changes in many areas of our lives, such as mandatory drafting of women with no special consideration being given to wives and mothers of young children. Also, women cannot be given the less dangerous non-combatant positions, as this would be discriminatory as compared to the men. Marriage between lesbians and homosexuals would be sanctioned. Lesbians and homosexuals would have to be hired as teachers in our children's schools. And also, which is a very appalling aspect, is that lesbians and homosexuals could not be denied adoption of our precious children, which opens a Pandora's box of child abuse and sexual assault. The mass slaughter of our innocent unborn would continue, as this is one of ERA's top priorities, as they believe this is an absolute necessity for the truly, quote, liberated, unquote, woman. These are just a random few samples of the ramifications to our society if this resolution were to pass. Please, senators, pray on this matter and truly seek the Lord to do his will on this issue. The lives of all Americans in this generation and generations to come are in your hands. This Equal Rights Amendment, if added to our Constitution, would drastically affect the very moral foundation of this country for all generations to come. For by accepting the pressure of the immoral segment of society, we surrender the innocent to their lifestyles. I close by quoting from Scott Wesley Brown's song, This Little Child. Nation against nation, brother against brother, men so filled with hatred, killing one another, and over half the world is starving while our banner of decency is torn, debating over disarmament, killing our children before they're born. And fools who march to win the right, to justify their sin, every nation that has fallen from within. Thank you.
Is there any questions?
Thank you, gentlemen.
I'm an occupational therapist, a wife and a mother, and I'm opposed to Senate Joint Resolution Number 1. I agree that it's a sad commentary on our society that women who have been forced to be breadwinners have not been given equal pay for equal work. That, as I see it, is the fundamental problem, not whether women are treated exactly the same as men. Women and men are not the same. God made them different both physically and emotionally. Why is it that women and men are constantly complaining that they never understand each other? We do not understand because they are different. We were made to complement each other, both in our physical and our emotional makeup. There are adequate laws currently on the books which protect women's job rights. Here's a partial listing of existing laws on a federal level which prohibit discrimination on grounds of sex in virtually all areas of American life, in education, employment, credit eligibility, housing, and public accommodations. We've already mentioned the Civil Rights Act of 1964 and the Equal Opportunity Act of 1972. Also, the Equal Pay Act of 1963, the Comprehensive Employment and Training Act of 1972, Small Business Act of 1972, the Health and Manpower Training Act of 1974, Housing and Community Development Act of 1974, and the Federal Employees Compensation Act of 1974. Senator Sam Ervin stated in 1972, and I quote, "If women are not enjoying the full benefit of this federal and state legislation and these executive orders of the federal government, it is due to a defect in enforcement rather than a want of fair laws and regulations. Since the ERA is not self-enforcing, this defect in enforcement will survive the passage of the amendment, and women will still have to bring suits to enforce their rights in the employment sphere, with no more remedies than they presently enjoy. I find the revival of this amendment both redundant and unnecessary, and a waste of time and money. Your efforts as legislators could best be served doing things beneficial to the state of Alaska. There are many important issues that need our work and attention that have not been addressed in the past 10 years because our time and your time have been spent on a dead issue." And I just wanted to add one thing to something Senator Josephson said, in that has there been any polls that say, you know, that people are more for the ERA than against the ERA? And I think the last 10 years that the ERA amendment has been has been in our government. They were given a renewal. They were given many more years to try and bring the amendment to be passed, and they failed. And I think that is an adequate statement of where these people, where the majority is at.
I think what Senator Josephson was referring to was a recent poll that was conducted of over 5,000 respondents in the state of Alaska, and the returns on that was something like 75% of the ERA, 25% of poll. These are supermarket polls. They weren't taken by a mission exclusive group, it was just people going in supermarkets. Yes, ma'am.
Sir, if we're gonna stick with that, are there any recent polls? Then possibly, like you said, there have in 1972, Alaska voted for state ERA, then the whole population here is changed. I mean, not the whole population, but a vast majority of Alaskans who may have been here in 1972, you know, we may have a different view now. As if you're talking about up-to-date polls.
I'm talking about a poll that was taken as recently as last month. Yeah.
Mr. Chairman?
That's what I was speaking of.
Yes. I would suspect that the numbers are accurate if the poll was either conducted in a manner or with an understanding that they were talking about equal rights for women. But if, in fact, the question was, are you in favor of obliterating all distinction between any of the sexes, I think that the results would have been different.
The question is the one that we're resolving today. Are you for or against an equal rights amendment?
And what does that mean to the
respondent? Well, you very specifically remarked earlier that everybody knows what it means.
No, it doesn't. There was a reason.
You very recently...
The people in this room.
Senator, you very distinctly remarked to start with that we weren't kidding anybody what we were doing here, that we knew what the equal rights amendment and everybody knows what it means.
Mr. Chairman,
yes,
I was referring to the ladies in this room, not to the public as a whole.